Good evening, and welcome to this commemoration of the institution of the Lord's Supper. Usually on Maundy Thursday, the Anna Hill branch of the Mothers' Union attend this service as a group. That obviously is not feasible on this occasion, but we know that they are joining our virtual congregation tonight. On this night, we come with Jesus and his disciples to the upper room and meet around the table for the Last Supper. This Passover meal becomes for us the sacrament of the Lord's body and blood, in which we feed on him by faith with thanksgiving. At the supper, Jesus reveals himself as the servant of all, when he takes water and a towel and washes the disciples' feet, giving us an example of servanthood to follow. At the end of the meal, we go out into the darkness of the Garden of Gethsemane in preparation for the day to come as we walk with him to the cross of Calvary. We sing the hymn, Jesus our Master, on the night that they came. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Return to the Lord, God of all mercies, for a feast of love has been prepared for his own.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
O taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Happy are they who take refuge in him.
O magnify the Lord with me, and exalt his name together.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear these commandments which God has given to his people and take them to heart. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other God but me.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.
You shall not make for yourself any idol.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.
You shall not dishonour the name of the Lord your God.
You shall worship him with reverence and awe.
Remember the Lord's day and keep it holy.
Christ is risen from the dead. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write these your laws in our hearts. Honor your father and your mother.
Live as servants of God. Honor all people. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ.
You shall not commit murder.
Be reconciled to your brother and sister. Overcome evil with good.
You shall not commit adultery.
Know that your body is a temple of the Lord.
You shall not steal.
Be honest in all that you do and care for those in need.
You shall not be a false witness.
Let everyone speak the truth.
You shall not covet anything which belongs to your neighbor.
Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Love your neighbor as yourself, for love is the fulfilling of the law.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Lord God, you sent your Son to reconcile us to yourself and to one another. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you heal the wounds of sin and division. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Holy Spirit, through you we put to death the sins of the body and live. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
God our Father, you have invited us to share in the supper which your Son gave to his church to proclaim his death until he comes. May he nourish us by his presence and unite us in his love, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book Exodus, chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark you for the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbour in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you in the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn, "O Lord, you knelt to wash your first disciples' feet."
Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. John chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You called me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." This is the Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. St. John, chapter 13 and verse 12. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" This Holy Week, we have followed the lectionary reading for each day from the Gospel according to St. John. And so it is we come to John's account of Jesus being at the table with his disciples, sharing their Passover meal. Meeting Jesus at a table is a significant moment for many people in the Gospels. Having Jesus sat at the table could mean it was a table of change. It was certainly a table of change for the tax collector Levi. In St. Luke chapter 5, verse 27, we read of Levi sitting at the table where he conducted his daily business. We are told that Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." Levi may have left the table for any number of reasons: to follow Jesus, or to ask questions about him, or to complain about him to the authorities. Levi leaves one table, but it is when he arrives at the other table that we realise that the table has been a place of change. We read in verse 29, "Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them." Here is the evidence that the table has been a place of change. To invite someone to share a meal was a mark of respect. Levi was demonstrating to his friends that he held Jesus in high regard in accepting the hospitality of Levi. Jesus is showing that he believed Levi was sincere. people watching would have been amazed at the scene, amazed at Levi's change of heart, amazed at Jesus going to such a house. The table is a place of change for Levi. Where is our place of change? Where do we meet with Jesus and realize that we cannot continue as we are, that we have to be different people? The meal table in the gospel story is a place of change, and it is a place of acceptance. St. Luke tells us that Jesus goes to the house of Simon the Pharisee for a meal. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. Simon, though, seems to have been more concerned with the honour of having Jesus at his house than in showing proper hospitality. A woman who wants to see Jesus comes in with a jar of ointment. Her tears fall on Jesus' feet, and she wipes his feet with her hair before anointing him with the ointment. Simon is not happy at the woman's behaviour, but Jesus rebukes him for not providing even basic courtesy while the woman showed profound love. Jesus declares, "Therefore I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." The table has been a place of acceptance for the woman, and it causes questioning. We read, "Those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins?'" The table for them would have been a place of acceptance only for those of whom they approved. The story of the events at the table of Simon the Pharisee is a challenge to us. How ready are we to acknowledge our own need of acceptance? How ready are we to accept those who show sorrow for what they have done? The table may be a place of change. A place of acceptance in today's reading is a place of service. St. John chapter 13, verse 4 says that Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. Jesus could have sat at the table. He could have expected to be served. Instead, he takes the role of a servant. His action discomforts the disciples. They are not happy that Jesus should play such a humble role. "You will never wash my feet," says Peter. It is Peter's protestation, caused by a sense of embarrassment, that neither he nor the other disciples had thought to show respect to Jesus by offering to wash his feet. Jesus is unambiguous about what he expects of the disciples. John tells us that Jesus goes back to the table and questions them to ensure that they have not misunderstood. Verse 12 says that after he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and had returned to the table. And he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" He explains that his example of service is one that they should repeat, that they will only be known as his disciples if they perform such service. How readily do we follow that example? If being a servant is at the heart of being a Christian, then is there a heart to our faith? Jesus shares a meal with Levi at a table of change. He meets the woman at a table of acceptance. He washes his disciples' feet at a table of service. St. John does not mention the bread and wine, but at the Passover meal in Jerusalem, Jesus shares with his disciples at a table of thanksgiving. The Passover meal recalled God's deliverance of his people from their captivity in Egypt. It was a meal of thanksgiving to God for the mighty things he had done. But as Jesus and his friends share the meal, it becomes a new table of thanksgiving. The word for thanks in the Gospels is the Greek word Eucharistan, from which comes our modern word Eucharist. The Eucharist is a thanksgiving to God for what he has done for us in Jesus. Jesus breaks the bread and shares the cup, and his actions become a remembrance of his death for us. "Do this in remembrance of me," Jesus tells the disciples, and each time they broke the bread and shared the cup, their table became a table of thanksgiving for what he had done for them. Do we have a sense of the Lord's table as a table of thanksgiving when we gather for the breaking of bread and sharing of the cup? Does the table recall us to what Jesus has done for us? Are we people genuinely grateful for God's love? A table of change, a table of acceptance, a table of service, a table of thanksgiving. A final table is a table of resurrection. Two disciples have been walking to Emmaus on the Sunday evening, and Jesus has walked with them without being recognized. They tell Jesus of all that has happened, and Jesus explains why all these things had to be. The disciples reach the village where they are going to stay, and Jesus acts as if he is going on, but is asked to join them for a meal. In St. Luke chapter 24 and verse 30, we read, "While he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them." At that moment, the table becomes a table of resurrection. Verse 31 tells us, "Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight." What an extraordinary moment it must have been for those disciples. They know themselves the significance of what has happened. "Were not our hearts burning within us?" they ask. The story must have been told and retold many, many times in the years that follows. The story of that table of resurrection has been read by Christians around the world in the 20 centuries since. When we read that story, at which point do we fit in? Are we like the disciples walking along with a man whom they do not recognize, full of doubts and questions? Or are we like the disciples after Jesus has sat with them at the table and broken the bread, realizing that Jesus is with them? The table is the story that asks us questions about our willingness to change, about us accepting and being accepted, about us having thankful hearts, about us knowing the presence of Jesus with us. Change, acceptance, service, thanksgiving, and resurrection. Do we meet Jesus at a table? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
we respond to the ministry of God's word by affirming our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In the power of the Spirit, let us pray to the Father through Christ, the Savior of the world. Father, on this, the night he was betrayed, your Son Jesus Christ washed the disciples' feet. We commit ourselves to follow the example of his love and service, as we especially remember all those at the present time caring for the sick and vulnerable. Lord, hear us
and humble us.
On this night he prayed for his disciples to be one. We pray for the unity of your church. Lord, hear us
and unite us.
On this night he prayed for those who were to believe through his disciples' message. We pray for the mission of your church. Lord, hear us
and renew our zeal.
On this night he commanded his disciples to love, but suffered rejection himself. We pray for the rejected and unloved. Lord, hear us
and fill us with your love.
On this night he reminded his disciples that if the world hated them, it hated him first. We pray for those who are persecuted for their faith. Lord, hear us
and give us your peace.
On this night, he accepted the cup of death and looked forward to the new wine of the kingdom. We remember those preparing for death and asked that they may know the peace of Christ. Lord, hear us
and welcome all your children into paradise.
We pray for all those who are in any way anxious at this time, especially for those who are sick and those who love them. Saviour of the world, who by your cross and passion has redeemed us, save us and help us. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Now, in union with Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near through the shedding of Christ's blood, for he is our peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We sing the hymn, Come, Lord, and meet us in this holy hour. Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And now we give you thanks because when your Son's hour had come, in his great love, he gave this supper to his disciples, that we might proclaim his death and feast with him in his kingdom. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension. And we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great High Priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We
being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread. On this occasion, it will not be possible for you who are participating in this service online to receive the bread and the wine. But you may, however, find these words of one of the ancient church fathers helpful, who said, "Only believe, and you will receive." With those words in mind, I invite you to participate fully in the sacrament this evening. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, by uniting us with Christ, you have made us new creatures. The old life is over. The new life has begun. Help us to enter more deeply into this experience, that through Christ we may die to sin, live to truth and righteousness, and be daily renewed by your Holy Spirit, to the honor of your name. Amen. Almighty God,
we thank you
for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ, draw you to himself, and grant that you find in his cross a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Sing the story of the cross, part 4.
Thank you.
When the disciples had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus prayed to the Father, "If it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me." He said to his disciples, "How is it that you are not able to keep watch with me for 1 hour? The hour has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the power of sinners." We sing the hymn, "In the darkness of the garden, see the tears and bloody sweat." Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ, Amen.
We thank you for being with us on this Maundy Thursday evening and participating in this commemoration of the institution of the Lord's Supper. Tomorrow is Good Friday, when our Holy Week devotions for another year come to a close. There will be an online Tenebrae service. Also, there will be a similar Tenebrae service in church at 8 o'clock in Mara Hamlet. This will be our first in-church service since the new year. So we look forward to that. As always, it will be a group parish occasion. Parishioners and friends from Annahilt and Mara Hamlet will be warmly welcomed, and it would be a great help if those intending to be present would inform the church wardens beforehand. The wardens' contact details are on the website or are included in the current parish magazine. Thank you.